I just couldn't cut it today. All I wanted was a little version of me that I could hold in my arms. Oh, Jub Jub. You make me feel... You make me feel like a natural woman.
Four finger discount, dude.
Welcome to Four Finger Discount, proudly brought to you by the Simpsons Quotes That Nobody Gets Anymore Facebook page and nohomeless.net. I am Dando.
I'm Mitch.
This is pre-recorded. You all know I'm on holiday at the moment. Mitch.
On the day of recording, it is...
D-Day.
What is it here?
We don't get too political on this show because it's just... It divides
people.
Well,
it's not what we're here for.
And we're not here to tell you that anyone's wrong.
I don't know how it's happened. We've spoken about Darren Lyons, I think, at some point on this podcast before.
I cut out portions of it because you went on like 20-minute rant about him.
But we gave you a warning of what happens when you elect a celebrity with no political experience into office. And that was only a town of a couple thousand as a mayor.
Maybe we should just give him a chance.
And the people of America looked at that. And they looked at him being fired by the state government, who looked and went, no, what you've done is so inadequate and out of depth that we're going to have to get rid of you. And they went, that's what we want for our country.
Oh, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. It's only happened today. He may be good. We'll soon see.
I'm putting serious money on impeachment within 6 months. I don't think he can go that long without breaking the law.
Whatever review we do in 6 months, we'll see whether you're correct.
So hopefully. I was obviously wrong when I said, no, it won't happen. But I had enough faith in people.
Yes. Well, I do have faith in people. You know why? Today, as we record this, 100,000 Facebook likes.
Well, there's at least 100,000 people out there with a good idea of what to do with their life.
I can't believe we finally achieved it, which means I have to get my Simpsons tattoo.
I can't pretend to be in a good mood today.
I've been slowly getting it. My goal was before I go away on my holiday. So right now, what is the date today? Oh, November 9th.
Yep.
I was expecting maybe 100,000 by the time I go on my holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I've already achieved it. We're still 2 weeks out from the holiday as we record this.
Are you going to Miami?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Why is that?
Well, because it's Miami. Well, you could go to New Yorking.
Oh, you mean for the TV shows?
You don't have to get onto the TV show. Well, although you probably would.
You know what I'm going to be doing? How cool is this, listeners? I'm actually getting one of the Simpsons animators. Not going to say who yet because it's not completely confirmed, but I have a pretty good idea. He's going to draw Homer. You know when Homer cubed, so the Halloween episode Homer goes 3D, and Frink is drawing. I've mentioned it on the podcast before when Frink draws Homer's face in Homer's cube.
Yep.
I learned how to draw a cube. It's the first episode I ever watched of The Simpsons after I was banned from watching it. So it's got a bit of a piece of my heart. I love that episode. So an animator from The Simpsons, when I go over there, is going to draw that on me. I'm going to get it tattooed to celebrate 100,000 Facebook likes.
If you're going as far as getting an animator, you should have an entire storyboard done on your chest. I want you to come back with 12 panels.
See, I considered that for a second. I remember I have a wife who would not appreciate that. Yeah. Like a Mad Magazine thing maybe on my back.
Just
like
fold in. Chick from-
Anyway, so today we're here to review Selma's Choice. Not the best episode. It's purely because it's surrounded by absolute classics.
Yeah.
I mean, last week, Marge versus the Monorail, and then you get a Selma's Choice.
And then next week,
there's nothing wrong with the
episode.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not as good as Marge versus the Monorail and others. It's just maybe because of the subject matter. I mean, there's not much you can do with Patty and Selma. It was a really nice story they told with Selma here.
I liked that they tried to tell a really mature story in between it all. And I think that they did a good job of keeping you interested by having... I guess it was like a juxtaposition between really mature subject matter, but then really silly jokes and silly laughs in between.
Well, it was similar to the story they were going with Principal Charming up to the point where Skinner fell in love with Patty.
Yeah.
Where this one, we actually got to see more of someone, how she wants to have a family. And you do really feel sorry for her because she's making a genuine effort.
Mm.
And then at the end, she sort of just realizes, I'm just not cut out for her. It's that disappointment of maybe I'm never going to have kids because I'm just not cut out to actually do it. But then they have the really nice ending, which was a takeoff of Murphy Brown, the season 4 finale.
Oh, really? Okay.
Where
Murphy got a pet lizard.
Exactly. No, she gives birth to a son.
Okay.
And the guy walks in and says, oh, can you film a message for your son? So when he watches it when he's older, and she sings, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
Ah, okay.
It was one of an iconic TV moment from the 90s. It was really, really, it was a really, really nice moment too. You should go on YouTube and check it out.
All I know, like the only bits I've ever seen of Murphy Brown is when Kramer was on it on Seinfeld. That's the only time.
Classic show though, 10 seasons.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to quickly point out something that we were chatting about in the last podcast, by the way, just to clarify. Conan O'Brien, writing for The Simpsons, was on the show from 91 and through to 93. So, it was a very short period of time.
So, 91, so it means he joined season 2? and he left season.
No, well, that could mean tail end of 91. We're doing episodes now that aired in 92, aren't we?
Or like late 92, 93. Oh, because season 2 was... Yeah. 99.
So
yeah,
I reckon
right,
it would have been around the season 3, season 4.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
And very nervous when he started. So there's a quote here from him on his first moment. So they showed him into an office and told him to start writing down some ideas.
Is the bird?
Yeah. They left him alone in the office. I left after 5 minutes to go get a cup of coffee. I love that. Like, that's such a George Costanza
five
move. Yeah, I've been sitting in the office for 5 minutes and, better get a coffee.
Yeah.
I heard a crash, walked back into the office, and there was literally a hole in the window with a dead bird on the floor. In my first 10 minutes at The Simpsons, a bird had flown through the glass of my office, hit the firewall, broken its neck, and fallen dead on the floor. George Meyer came in, looked at it, and went, well, this is some kind of weird omen.
Obviously, 2 years later, he's hosting The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Is it Tonight Show? Is that what he hosted?
It was The Tonight Show, yeah.
He deserves it too. He's a hilarious man.
Anyway, I just thought that it...
That was a good tidbit, yes.
It warranted clarifying that from what we were talking about.
And obviously, he came up with the name Jump Jump.
Oh, did he?
Yes. Yeah. That's one of the little facts that I've got here. Anyway, so what were your favourite moments from this episode?
The Lizard Queen is right up there. Yep. I like Lisa just going nuts, but I
prefer
can't...
In that scene, I prefer the... Oh, I'm not a doctor.
That is a very, very funny joke.
Just to clarify, I'm not a doctor.
No matter the situation, that's always something that I want to see happen. Yeah. Like that punchline will always get a laugh.
It's never not funny. It's hilarious. I love it so much.
Homer in the sandwich. I can't go past
that is great.
I've been there before.
And I sort of forgotten about it until it happened. I went, oh my God, I love this scene so much. It's only one scene really, isn't it?
They
had a little throwback about a minute later in the trash.
But it's pretty much only one.
It's just so good. It's something that we've all considered eating food when we know it's nearly on the use by date, but it's like, can I get away with this?
I love the, it's just so great. But just not being able to say, to give
goodbye.
Up.
Goodbye, yes.
Yeah, not being able to say goodbye to a flavor.
Yeah.
It's something that I've experienced. But I love the, I think the mayonnaise is starting to turn. 2 more feet and I can fit it in the fridge.
Yeah. I was a big fan. I always have been of the, another placemat, sir. Please.
That's the sort of silly jokes that I was talking about. And they do it a few times throughout. But there were a couple other moments that
it does have funny moments. It's just obviously, as I said, not as good as the classics.
Yeah.
So a bit of trivia about the episode. I'll kick it off. What was the name of the dating service that Selma goes to?
I missed that.
Low Expectations Dating Service. Okay.
Good. Get it right out there.
That's like... No, there used to be a funeral service. They've changed the name, a funeral parlor or whatever, in Norlane here. They've changed the name now. It used to be called Affordable Funerals.
What's it called now?
I don't know, but it's over on near Sparks Road. Over
Funerals
here.
For Less?
Maybe.
Which author did Aunt Gladys quote in her will?
Is that the poem?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Robert Frost. You were fast-forwarding until Homer started fast-forwarding, weren't you?
All in favour? Thank you. What aren't a big problem anymore at Duff Gardens?
Oh, is it gangs?
Roaming gangs.
Yeah. What was the pimply-faced teenager's co-worker's name?
Oh, I didn't notice this. No.
Earl.
Earl, okay. Yeah.
Go for it, man.
What was Mitch's supervisor's name?
Jim?
Jim, yeah. Yes. Well done, yeah.
Yes.
What did Selma eat after being depressed after Hans Molman's
just
date?
I have 2 questions in a row. That's fine.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I did tell you.
I don't know. Idea.
It was a jar of expired olives.
Oh, okay. Good stuff. How big was
You can have 2 in a row now.
How big was the sandwich originally?
10 foot?
Yes. Yeah. They referenced the 7 beers.
Yes.
Well, whatever they're actually.
7 dwarfs.
Yeah. So, yeah. Rip off the 7 dwarfs. We see 4 of them. What are their names?
Surly, Remorseful.
Mm-hmm.
Happy?
No.
No? Who was the other 2?
Tipsy and Queasy.
Tipsy and Queasy. Okay.
And it kind of comes out in order, actually. Tipsy, Queasy, Surly,
Remorseful.
And
pushes him over. Yeah, I remember that. What's the name of the Sperm Bank magazine? Or at least they're reading through at the kitchen table there.
I don't know, but can I try to make one up?
Go for it.
If I was to... So a Sperm Bank... So this was like the donor's
I'm assuming it's a Sperm Bank magazine, but it's just a magazine filled with celebrities who have donated this
Who month. Have donated. Spermanent Decisions.
What is it meant to be?
Permanent.
Oh, well done. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, thank you.
No, it's 101 Frozen Pops.
Well, that's nowhere near as clever. how long was the wait point to be able to make it to the complaints booth?
Oh, I don't know.
When they joined that line. Like, if the line's this long, it's got to
be
2 hours.
Did it actually say on the sign?
It's a little flash past a sign saying wait time from this point 2 hours.
How many immigrant laborers died constructing the Great Pyramid?
22,
correct. Do you have any more questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay, I think I've got one more. Okay, so I've got the answer here, but not the question. I've got to make up the question on the spot. Okay. Mm-hmm. What two videos does Marge hire besides, not the Erotic Adventures of Hercules, what are the first two that she offers to Homer to watch?
Oh, I'm not going to cheat by looking, but one of them was Boxing's Greatest Weigh-Ins.
How good was that?
And the other one was just a woman's name.
I believe Barbra Streisand's in it.
Yeah. I looked up the movie to check if it was a real movie or not, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yentl.
Yentl.
I said lentil. Right. I was going to say Rhymes of Lentil. Okay, so a few facts. David Stern was a writer, and he wrote Principal Charming, and he wanted to go back and do a Patty and Selma
one.
Because okay. It worked well with the first time, and he wanted to keep the characters alive.
Going back to the well.
Yes. As we said, Jub Jub was debuted here and was named by Conan O'Brien. Mm-hmm. The animators had issues. I've mentioned this earlier. During season 4, the pupil size, and during this episode, it's very noticeable that the pupils are a lot bigger.
Yep.
In the will scene, where Gladys is reading out her will, Julie Kavner had 5 different voices in the space of that scene.
Oh, like as in characters.
Do 5 different character voices. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the chips that she mentions during the Will video, that was actually a takeoff of the fact that there was once a guest on Johnny Carson who had chips that looked like celebrities. And that's where they got the idea
from. Was it Crispin Glover? I feel like that's something he would have done.
Oh, have you seen his one on Letterman?
Yeah.
What a weirdo.
The one where he fly kicks him?
No, I haven't seen that one. One where Letterman's just like, just get off my show, you dweeb.
That was pretty much every interview that he was ever on.
He was trying to say something about conspiracy theories, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, Letterman's just like, this guy's a
bit. There is one where he started going on about karate and did like a big high kick.
Okay. Now, this one he was putting Letterman down, and Letterman's just like, I'm better than you.
Yeah,
I'm not bothered by this at all.
I still, for all of Crispin Glover's craziness, he still contributes the best laugh to cinema history from Back to the Future with that. Marty gives him a kiss on the head and he's like, ooh, Pop, time to change the oil or something like that. And you get this, it's the most stuttered laugh ever.
I don't even remember that. What part of the movie is that?
Early days.
Well, he kisses him. Oh, so he's fixing the car before he...
No, it's he's kind of got slicked hair. So it's just around the family table. Okay,
anyway. So let's get to the episode. The original air date was January 21st.
Sorry, I was going to say the title obviously is a play on the movie Sophie's Choice.
Ah, okay.
Which, depressing movie. Really, really sad. Don't watch it if you want to have a good time.
Let's not review it then.
No, we probably won't. But Sophie's Choice was... The kind of crux behind that movie was about a Holocaust survivor being forced to choose between her two children, one of which had to be gassed and one of which had to go work in the internment camps. If she didn't choose, if she didn't choose one, they were going to kill both of them.
Holy shit. That's what the movie's about, or is it the aftermath of her decision?
It's kind of, no, the movie's about her life, but then like that's what she, you know, this is like this massive, obviously traumatic thing that has led her to be what it is. So I think it's in like the latter stages of the movie. She has the big reveal of this is what happened. Yeah.
Jesus, that's dark.
That's rough.
Okay. Also, let's thank our patrons before we get into the review as well.
I mean, I'd make that choice about other people's kids. But to do it for my own.
Thanks to all the patrons who have subscribed to us so far. We can't believe it. We're able to reach our first goal in the first week. Just thank you so, so much. We've mentioned it before. We'll just do it quickly once more time. We're going to be doing monthly giveaways. We've got some exciting announcements coming up very, very shortly of prizes we're going to be giving away. Really cool stuff.
By the time you're listening to this, it's probably already been announced.
Yeah, we'll announce it on the Patreon page. But for $1 a month, if you subscribe for $1 a month, you get access into the draws. $2 a month to get you access to more exclusive podcasts, including the premium ones.
Mm-hmm.
The next one we're going to do is 22 short films about Springfield.
Can't wait for that one.
It's going to be fantastic. $5 or more gets you access to more exclusive videos, behind the scenes and whatnot. And then the $8 one gets you access into Google Hangouts.
Yep.
And a personalized selfie, all that kind of stuff.
Not only that, all of the backdated premium podcasts. So the $2 a month will get you access to it for that month, whereas when you pay for the higher level, then you've got them forever.
Yeah, so for $2, you get 30 days access. Yep. And then after that 30 days, bang, they go on to the $8 patrons and you'll never see them again unless you pay $8 or you wait till it's time to listen to it for free.
Yep.
So the original air date was January 21st, 1993. Sticking with the 2-week gap in between episodes.
Mm.
I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, chalkboard gag, I will not yell she's dead during roll call, and couch gag, the Simpsons family is caught by a net on the ground. So the episode kicks off with a Lance Murdoch commercial for Duff Gardens.
Yep. I forgot that this was a commercial.
Now, do you know...
So, like, I didn't remember a huge amount about the ins and outs of this episode. So, I thought, legitimately, it was like, oh, there's another, like, little Lance Murdoch thing.
Yeah.
Like, that they were going to be in the crowd.
Yeah. No, it's just a little thing. You know how we've discussed before on the podcast that when you've taped something off TV and you watch that tape over and over again, you just, in your mind, that's how the movie or the TV show is, right?
Yeah.
I remember with this episode, I missed maybe the first 5 minutes of it. So when I started taping it was when they arrived to pick up Patty and Selma
okay.
for the funeral.
Yeah.
So all of this stuff, I couldn't remember any of it because yeah, okay. as a kid, I had never really watched it. I might have seen it one or two times on the DVD and that's it.
So you thought your DVD was broken?
I thought I just watched the wrong
this
episode.
This is the episode.
This isn't how it starts off. What the hell's going on here? But anyway, so he crashes his bike and they say, where are you going to? He's like, Duff Gardens, home of the Whiplash.
Voiceover being done by Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman, of course. Yeah. Yep. Is it meant to be Troy McClure doing the voiceover?
No, it's just Phil Hartman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Crashes the bike. It's the home of the Whiplash, completed in 1994. Falls down.
To be completed.
To be completed, yes. Yeah. Yep. And what was the other one? The washing machine. The other obviously
yeah, the washing machine and the bee aquarium.
Yeah, yeah.
With the happiest fish in... Was it happiest fish?
Something like that. Happiest fish in the world at the bee aquarium. I like the groan. Oh.
Yeah.
And the Barney burp. Homer, Bart and Lisa are just super excited. Homer's like, we are going to Duff Gardens. Family, let's all get ready. Or Bart, you start the car.
Yeah.
And Marge walks in with the sad news that...
Before the sad news, there's a great little scam from Homer. And everyone's tried this at some point. It's like, remember, what do we say when we get to the ticketing booth? We're under six and I am a college student.
We've all tried it at the cinema at one point, haven't we? I remember Mum's like, you're not 15 yet. Like, no worries, Mum.
Yeah.
So Marge walks in.
Meanwhile, you'd driven her there.
Yes, exactly. Marge walks in with the sad news that great aunt Gladys is dead, but doesn't really know who she is.
Gladys. About yay high, blue hair, big dent in her forehead.
No, honey, Gladys looked more like your Aunt Patty.
Oh, yeah, there she is.
Are they that ugly, though?
Not really. I actually thought that she didn't look too bad in the flashback.
No.
Not like she didn't look good, but she just looked like a lady.
Yeah, just an ugly woman. So they can't go to Duff Gardens. I did like here that the kids are accepting of it.
Yeah.
And Homer pouts.
The funeral's in Little Neck Falls. Looks like we'll have to go to Duff Gardens another time.
We understand.
No, he's complaining about something you can't change.
But I want to go to Duff Gardens. Right now.
No, Homer, quit pouting.
I'm not pouting. I'm mourning.
Family then on their way and they're singing songs. I don't know what the first song was that they were singing, but Marge is upset.
It was like a recipe for something.
Yeah, but Marge is like, we're on our way to a funeral.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. The old witch, the wicked witch.
I think you would consider singing that on the way to a funeral of someone you didn't like.
I'd probably be more inclined to sing it about someone that I did like.
To make light of the situation.
Yeah, because I feel like that would be less offensive.
Yeah, true. Like, you're not trying to be mean.
Yeah, no, I'm not the sort that's ever going to stomp on
you're
someone's grave.
Not that heartless.
No. But if it was like a really good friend of mine, I would do it for a laugh because no one would think that I genuinely thought that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they arrive to pick up Patty and Summer and what do you call Mrs. Bouvier? Just grandma?
Aunt Gladys?
No, grandma.
Her mum.
Not the dead body. They're not picking that up. Anyway.
Just Mrs. Yeah, yeah, Mrs. Bouvier.
Mrs. Bouvier.
What is her name?
We'll just call her grandma. Her name is Janice?
I think we have to call her Mrs. Bouvier.
Mrs. Bouvier, yes.
From behind glass.
Yes. Mrs. Bouvier. So, Homer then hugs Patty and Summer, which I thought was nice of him, but seemed out of character.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a funeral, so you got to kind of put that on. I like the reading there that it was genuine. Just like, you know, Patty, Selma, and, you know...
He wasn't trying to be rude or nothing. Yeah. No, he wasn't being sarcastic. Yeah, he was just trying to be...
He's hugging us. What do we do? Just close your eyes and think of MacGyver.
Homer's then chucking all the luggage into the car. What I thought was a bit silly, though, was that they can't go to Duff Gardens today because the funeral's... What, how long had she been dead for a week? You can't plan a funeral the same day.
That's true. And you're generally not going to get notice of a funeral that morning.
The day
shit,
of.
We forgot to tell you.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was a little bit silly, but we'll forget about it. So,
Maybe it's a fair road trip. So maybe it was a case of she's died, the funeral's in a couple of days, but we need to get in the car now.
Can't go to Duff Gardens on the way? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. That's worse than singing Ding Dong the Witch is Dead.
Why are you guys wearing that Duff Gardens hat?
Yeah. Homer has squashed Lisa with all the luggage because she's pushed up against the window. Mm. Chucked all the luggage into the car. And then this is a great moment where Homer talks to himself.
Oh, yes. Head. And then reacts out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Legend of the Dark-Faced Woman.
Oh, that's good.
He's so proud of himself. Or sort of he's proud of himself. It's like he's considering his mind to be a second person.
Yeah.
He's saying, oh, well done, mate. That was a great joke. Marge is like, that's very, very rude. Her response isn't as angry as it should be. Like, oh, that's very rude of you.
I guess she's still in mourning. So she's, you know, too sad to be angry.
Disbelief.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine if someone said about someone you loved. Just thought of a joke in their head and then laughed at it out loud. Mm. Anyway.
Legend of the podcast, loser.
Uh-oh. Fuck you. So then Patty or Selma asks, my butt's asleep. We need to stop somewhere.
Mm.
Why do they sometimes... Do they do you feel like they want us to make them seem manly? Like, are we supposed to expect them to be manly people? That they're not very feminine?
Well, yeah, definitely not very feminine. But I think that's more just to view them in a sense that they're not attractive women.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So they stop at the Buzzing Sign Diner. And
which was funny.
Yes.
It's like that thing of, like, you couldn't come up with a good name, so you just come up with that.
Which is funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Homer's having trouble with the placemat. I'm going to play the clip.
Another placemat, sir.
Please.
I think that's just hilarious.
I love that. Like, he's trying to solve a kid's, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Maze. Yeah.
But just the dignity with which he reacts in, please.
Please.
It's like he's in a fine dining establishment. It would be funny, even without the maze.
Another glass of wine, sir?
To speak to someone like that in a roadhouse diner is already funny. Yes. The fact that it's about a placemat.
Please.
10 times.
Yeah. Marge says we should take this time to remember Aunt Gladys and have the flashback, which is a takeoff of a scene from Prince of Tides.
Prince of Tides.
So you're watching it and
she calls herself out.
As a viewer, you think, oh, this is just a takeoff. And you're like, wait a minute. That's not her life at all. It's just Prince of Tides. And she says it. It's hilarious. They're calling it out. They continue driving and the kids are playing the counting game.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty much all it is. Just luggage falling off the back of the car.
How much luggage do they fucking take to this funeral?
Well, there's like 7 people.
Is there? I guess. Maggie doesn't need a suitcase, though.
Maggie doesn't count.
They arrive at Lucky Stiff Funerals, I believe it was called. I think that's what got written here anyways. Lucky Stiff? Something like that. Anyway.
Didn't pay attention to that.
Then the guy starts giving the speech about the man.
Yeah, I love that. That's a woman? Yeah. Good Lord.
I just love that this probably would happen sometimes that what are these people called? The ones that give the service?
Well, I mean, it's either going to be a priest or I suppose a celebrant. Like, do you still have, is it still called a celebrant?
Celebrants for weddings, funeral? I know that anyway. But do you think like they have just these default ones where they just insert him and she and he?
Definitely. The bad ones do.
That's what this was meant to be, I think.
I've been to I've been to enough funerals and I kind of have this thing that I can't help but judge people when they're speaking in a public environment, no matter what that environment might be. I'll be sitting there giving them marks on their presentation.
Like people would say to you, he's not supposed to be reading this part. He is.
That's the priest that's supposed to say that, Mitch. Sit the fuck down. Like some of them definitely have just got a template that they'll stroll through. And you can tell because it clashes massively with what everyone else is saying.
Yeah, yeah. But is that the gag they're going for here, do you think? Because it was a cheap funeral place?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, you can. Yep. So then Patty takes over. That better not come up on the bill, she says. This is a good line. She lived alone, died alone. Some would say she's a role model for Selma and me.
I love she wasn't a rich woman and everyone leaves.
That's right after. Yeah, not a rich woman. Forgot my hat. But she was rich in spirit or whatever. Barton starts playing with the body. I've personally never been to an open casket funeral.
Well, I don't think Australia does that, but that we have the, what's it called?
The
viewing. Yes. So at the viewing, the casket is open.
I was going to go to a viewing once and then I bowed at last minute. I was going to do it. Okay. I don't know. Make me a weak person?
No. There's many other things that do that. But no, I have. It's a little weird. It's not, I don't know. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, actually.
The reason I left was because I didn't want to remember them. I didn't want my last memory of them to be that.
Mm. I guess it's a different... Like, the one that I went to was someone that had been fighting cancer for, like, 2 years. So, my last memory of them had been of them being really weak terrible, and emaciated. Yeah. Whereas, I've kind of got this last picture of them looking nice and made up and pretty. So, it helped in that regard.
Okay. Condolences to my wife's family, by the way. They lost both a grandma and an uncle this past week.
Tragic.
Okay. So, Homer then starts crying because there was no catering, which is hilarious.
Another
just not fair, damn it.
Another Homer moment where it's his brain and then his outward response.
I think they've realized that these are really hilarious.
Yeah.
So they're doing it more and more and more. But Marge, it's okay, Homer. It's okay. Yeah. You're comforting him.
and then Bart doing the voice.
Well, Homer gave him the idea. They give you evil, have evil spirits or whatever. Yeah. And then, don't worry about it. Cut to classic Lionel Hutz moment where he's playing the video, Will.
I'm Lionel Hutz, executor of Ms. Bouvier's estate. She left a video will, so I earn my fee simply by pressing this play button. Pretty sweet, eh?
Homer then fast forwards the poem that she's going to read out.
Yep.
And I love that everyone agrees with Homer. Yep. They don't like him, but fast forward, we're just going to get straight to the good stuff. And Hutz has re-recorded it. The face change, the animation of his face changing. Like, you believe that? Yeah, you believe that?
You'd be surprised how often that works.
Yes.
I love that.
Because it actually means the fact that it has worked in the past is
hilarious. Been called on it, but he's just, well.
Yeah. It's worked before. Can't win them all. She's left Marge the chips that look like celebrities. The great thing about this is Homer realizes it.
And still eats
contemplates,
it.
Continues eating. Yeah. These were like my children, Marjorie. Take special care of them. Leaves Mrs. Bouvier, Jub Jub. She might as well left me the bowel obstruction that killed her.
That's a great line.
And then she leaves Patty and Son with a grandfather clock and a bit of advice. Yep. Don't die lonely. Raise a family and do it now, now, now. I like the fact that when she says a grandfather clock, Patty's face goes, ooh, like she's really excited for it.
Yeah.
So this message then sinks in with Son, you know, I need to go out and raise a family to do something with myself. I don't want to die alone. Hey, grandfather clock, pretty sweet. Hey? Yeah. So Patty's just paid no interest to it absolutely at all. On the way home, Son reveals to Patty that she wants a baby and Maggie overhears, freaks out and tries to get out of the car.
Hilarious.
Really good moment. Come back from commercial and Summer is trying out the low expectations dating service. Mm-hmm. You're looking at a free lunch, boys. Come and get it.
Come and get it.
That's so seedy, but
does,
so great.
Does the little, like, twirls the cigarette with her tongue.
Oh, kind of sexy.
What a woman. If they were going to do a live-action Simpsons, we've been asked who would we cast? Judith Lucy as both Patty and Selma.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, that would be perfect. Yeah,
she'd
100%.
Be great at it.
I don't really like Judith Lucy's style of comedy, but I know
but
it's
funny.
You can
see how well she would be. Yeah.
Yeah. Just that bitterness.
Yeah.
But I love, too, that they selected someone like Willie who just has such low standards. Yeah. And even he's just like, ugh.
Yeah. Great line.
Yeah.
Back to the lock. How's Willie's uniform? How's his fucking get up in that? He's wearing like a 1970s pimp suit. There's like purple open flares and a gold chain.
I wasn't really paying attention.
It was full
on. Yes, he is, too. I do. That's hilarious.
It's like Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah. Now, who does she go to see? Would you call him a gypsy?
I suppose it's a gypsy, yeah. One of those people that I don't believe in and will never go speak to.
Yeah, but she accidentally takes the truth serum and tells her exactly what's in it.
Yeah,
basically
really
saying,
funny.
You're going to waste your money. And then, it's a good little bait and switch. She then hits on the guy at the checkout, and this was cool. he's
wearing a ballot, are you? Yep. Yeah. No suspenders for you.
I guess not. They make us wear this. But then what's great about it is that this guy feels so awkward. He wants to get out of it. He makes it a lie, but his mate's just pushing him in.
Yeah. Oh. Go for it, man.
But if it was the other way around, he'd be trying to make up the excuse as well.
Yep.
Have you ever had those moments where you can see your mate just does not want to do this, but you're just making it uncomfortable for him?
Trying to push them into it.
Trying to make... Or just, not even like a chick hitting on them. Just trying to make something more awkward for a friend than it needs to be.
Yeah. what would spring to mind off the top of my head? It probably has mostly been... Like, I've definitely been in that situation where girls have been trying to show some interest in a mate of mine that did not want that interest, and I would just be doing everything I could. Going, no, stay with us. Do you want to just, like, I'll buy us a round. Like, what's your favorite drink? Holy shit, that's Josh's favorite drink, too. You guys are going to get along so well. Look, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be back in, like, 25 minutes.
And you just never come back.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hans Molman's then doing his eye test at the DMV.
Yep.
He fails it, but then she realizes that he's single. So she goes on a date with him. You're reading the wine list, sir. Very good.
That's the second one that I was thinking of.
Oh, the clip.
Similar to Homer with please. It's like, that he handles himself with such grace and dignity after being called out on a mistake.
And the fact that I don't think he even realizes it, that he's made a fool of himself. He's trying to be dignified.
He's trying to be dignified, but I think he knows he's got it. I like to think that he's got it wrong, and it's one of the few times that Mole Man gets to get one up.
It's like when you fell over and you tried to cover it up.
Yeah.
When you fell over, what was it, the bar?
Jumped over a rail. nearly dislocated my knee trying to impress women.
Driving home, I love that Selma's driving him home.
Yeah. I love the freeze frame. There's like, not a freeze frame, but there's a moment. I just happened to pause it at this moment, and then I looked up again, where it's shot from like the back, like the parcel shelf of the car, and you see Selma and Mole Man is so much smaller.
Lower.
It's just
yes.
like his hat sitting above the chair.
I
loved that.
Yeah.
It just so perfectly summed up Mole Man.
No, right. You feel so sorry for him. Yeah. He's done nothing wrong. She's led him to believe that he's going to get some action.
He's tried to be so gentlemanly and graceful.
Yeah.
And
she's even said, it's time. Let's do this.
He's worn a suit. He's got a cane.
Yeah.
He's done everything he can.
Poor guy. Yeah. I really feel sorry for him. So, obviously, she imagines them if they got married and had kids.
Yeah.
Did you think that the long pause at the end went for longer than it should have? When the kid falls out the window, it took longer. Nothing happened. It was just a freeze frame, and it was dead silent for about 3 or 4 seconds before they faded back to someone looking at him kissing her.
I honestly didn't notice.
Go back and watch it. It goes for like 3 or 4 seconds. Okay. It just seemed like it... I don't know. It seemed like they must have made it go longer without realizing or something. Mm. It's just really odd. Anyway, so I like the animation of his lips trying to kiss her. Get out of the car. This isn't my house.
This isn't my house.
Poor guy. Another Duff Gardens commercial where roaming gangs aren't a problem anymore. And then we have Hooray for Everything. What's this meant to be a takeoff of? Hooray for Everything.
Would it just be like general
high five?
High five type thing. Yeah, like I'm sure every S Club 7.
The Wiggles to an extent. The Wiggles weren't so bad. The Wiggles were awesome.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're all pitched to kids. But just that general pop group. New Kids on the Block, were they ever that way? They probably
No, they weren't a kids show. They were an actual. They were treated like a
No, but I know
band.
They weren't a kids show, but like, but yeah, anyone that's just supposed to be, everything's so fantastic.
We're so happy.
Yeah.
The Australian radio industry.
Yeah.
And I did like the cover. I don't like the cover, but I like the fact that they covered Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed.
Yeah.
Love that song.
That is it. That whole album, Transformers, great album. I love the way they use the commercial to reintroduce the sort of thrust of the story as well. In this, like, we're in the second act, and then they go, "Hey, remember that Duff Gardens?"
Because you've forgotten about Duff Gardens by this point. Yeah,
it's like, hey, there's a reason for it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then asked to go, "Yes, we can," unless another ant dies. Yeah. Did you notice that Patty was there alone? Was that just so they can further this story of involving Selma, or was it the fact that whenever one of them goes on a date, the other one has to go to the Simpsons house because they're lonely?
Doesn't Selma come in?
No, she's just sitting there. Or does she? No, she comes in.
Patty. Is it like Patty's in?
Oh,
and
sorry,
then Selma.
Patty's sitting there by herself.
Yeah, and then Selma comes in talking about how.
Yeah, but why was Patty there? Just because she's lonely? Because I remember the last time when Selma went on the date, Patty came over. I'm lonely. Can I come watch TV here? You remember that?
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly. Anyway. So,
or it's just a convenient excuse to be able to have them all in the same room for the next scene.
Yeah, yeah, which makes sense. So Summer arrives, she's very depressed. And Lisa suggests the artificial insemination. He was pretty desperate to make it out with a robot.
I knew that.
What is the gag there?
Well, just that Homer didn't realize, you know, the way insemination actually does work.
But why did he say I knew that then?
To try again, just to try and act graceful and cover himself.
Okay.
That's the third please.
Yep. She goes to the sperm bank and she asks, what's the quality like here?
Yeah.
And it's Barney, basically.
There's a rigorous screening process.
It's pretty seedy. The fact that Barney goes there all the time. He's like, he's a local.
Yeah.
And there's just all these babies burping.
Put it to good use.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a good pullback to the entire town. And you just hear babies burping everywhere. And then the next bit that we get is like, what has become everything that I hate about Family Guy. I didn't love these next couple jokes.
It's a Family Guy flashback, isn't it? I've got here a Family Guy joke.
Yeah, because they're two jokes that have not come from any substance within the story whatsoever, and they're just introduced and then they fall away again.
Remember that time when this happened?
Yeah, like you've had bad experiences ordering out of catalogs. Remember that mail order husband. Like, that's literally how it's said. Now, you know, in and of itself, it's a kind of funny gag that it's just the cardboard cutout that falls over, but it just was real clumsily the way it's introduced is really clumsy. And then the ham radio is also the same thing.
Yeah, because there's no other reference to it. It's just there for the gag.
Just for that joke, yeah.
They've done this before. I think it was Homer when Marge says, remember that time you did this and you remembered something and we said the exact same thing?
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the reasons why we don't like Family Guy. It's just, the humor means nothing in the whole show. Like, you watch a whole episode and it's just gag, gag, gag. Quite Marge versus the Monorail, a lot of the gags don't really mean something, but at least there is a story there.
Yeah, they fit within what's going on.
Yep.
Within the greater context of it. But then you do get a great line after, like where Marge is like, something about, you know, you've got to consider whether or not people would, you know, want to be with you. It's like, well, all I got now is sperm in a cup. And then it's just the back and forth. I love that.
I know it's not seedy or dirty, but just hearing the character say, I've got sperm in a cup, it just sounds, I don't know, as if for a kid's show, it just seems a bit upfront.
I suppose, yeah, saying the word sperm. It's weird that they could say sperm, but they wouldn't be able to say penis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just thought the word sperm was like, there's nothing wrong with that word, but I just thought it was odd. Anyway.
What the taste.
Because of how many times we've... how many times we've heard that Fox try to censor shit. Like, they wanted Homer to not say kiss butt and kiss my hairy yellow butt because he's a 2-year-old on the show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, weird.
So the kids then walk in. Time to go to Duff Gardens. They find Homer sick in bed. Oh, great. Dad's dead. They did a great job, or Dan did a great job here of playing sick.
Yeah.
Homer's determination. Like, I am not giving up. And he passes out.
There's a line coming up that is it's like the greatest bit of acting that I think Dad's ever done.
Before we get to it, though, it's the, I think I know what it is too. Yeah. The sandwich montage. You can discuss this.
Yeah. So it starts off at like the nuclear plant family picnic.
Jeez, we hardly made a dent in that 10-foot hoagie.
Oh, give it a good hope.
You've been eating that thing for a week. I think the mayonnaise is starting to turn.
2 more feet and I can fit it in the fridge.
Homer, I found this behind the radiator. I really think you should throw it away.
Suggestion noted.
And then when it just gets into that, like, purpley, shitty, moldy state, it's just, I can't stay mad at you.
but is it the...
I'd like to be alone with the sandwich.
Yeah, but is it, she finds it behind the radiator or the fridge?
Yeah.
The radiator.
But I found this down behind the radiator.
How did it get there? But yeah, that...
Marge, I'd like to be alone with the sandwich for a moment.
Are you going to eat it?
Yes.
The line that I love is when he's in the car shivering. His skin's white and he's still just defiant right before passing out. Duff Gardens, hurrah! Yeah.
Just bang, he's out. So Selma arrives and she's taken for a ride to go to Duff Gardens and ride with Satan himself. That's the spirit. See you tonight. So then Lisa's, don't eat salads, but I love salads. I did like the line here from Bart. Won't be any fun without your dad. It's just that it's nice that the kids have that bond with Homer.
Yeah.
It's just he's the man child. And they're disappointed that he's not going to be able to go with them. He disappoints them in so many ways, but he's still a fun dad to have.
Mm.
Then he gets angry at the sandwich, as he said. This is all your fault. How could I be angry at you? Marge knocks it out of his hand. Cut back from commercial and they're approaching Duff Gardens. They see the Great Pyramid and discuss about how 22 immigrant laborers died. Some are here. We're just making light of the situation. Yeah, Plenty more where that came from.
Yeah, that's a harsh joke.
Yeah, that's a very harsh joke. I'm surprised they're able to get away with it.
Not anymore, because you'd be putting up a fucking wall.
Apparently so. That won't happen.
Of course it won't happen. It's impossible.
I built this giant wall.
Guy ran on a campaign of make-believe, and you voted in president.
So kids then see the seven Duffs. Surly is just an absolute dick.
Yeah, well.
He's Surly.
as he should be.
So then go to the B Hall of Presidents, which is a really funny song. Breakdown.
Said the only way.
Yeah. Lisa's just disgusted. Bart then pulls down Washington's pants, turns around like Terminator, red eyes.
Yeah.
Homer's then sick in bed.
Creepy.
Yeah, very, very creepy.
Creepy Washington.
Homer's then sick in bed. Oh. What are the odds of being sick on a Saturday? 1,000,000 to 1.
I love that he's drinking medicine from a phone.
Is it medicine? I was going to say, what is it?
Might have been like Pepto-Bismol or something like that. I did like just one of those try to calm your stomach down drinks.
He's drinking, out of his foam. Is it foam? What are they called?
Foam dome,
yeah. Marge has rented movies for him. It was the Boxing's Greatest Weigh-Ins and Yentl. And this was one of my favorite moments from Homer. Sounds great.
Oh my God, you're delirious.
The animation of his eyes pointing in the wrong direction. She explains Yentl. Sounds great. Oh my God, you're delirious. Bart is then wearing the beer goggles. You're charming the pants off of me.
What did you say? I said, take those damn glasses off.
Someone then wants to sit down on the bench. This symbolizes me when Nicola and I want to go clothes shopping. There is a bench. Well, basically, it's funny then the kids just want to take her away, want to do stuff. You sort of get the idea here that Selma is just not cut out.
Getting tired.
She's barely been there and she's already tired. She doesn't want to do this. She doesn't want to be a parent. If the line's this long, it's got to be good. It's sort of like a throwback to the Krusty, what was the water park Krusty had? Mount Splashmore.
Yeah.
Where the line was really, really long.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he
but
says...
But that was actually for something.
But I'm pretty sure he says that exact line as well. Okay. If the line's this long, it's got to be good. But obviously the line was for something good at that point. Homer's then feeling much better. And this is... Now, we made a mistake a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, so... Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We
called all the stars, I think is what the one where he says...
The Erotic Adventures of Hercules. I think I always... For some reason, I must get it confused with when Homer dresses in the toga for Halloween.
Okay.
Like the treehouse of horror.
Cares not for beans.
But it's great that we, it's still one of the few McClure things where he's referenced it and then we get to actually see
it. It's like the writers heard him in Carnival of the Stars. Well, that's so fucking great. We want to animate it.
We've got to do that, yeah.
The Cyclops took off my clothes. And then they laugh afterwards. I love that you don't even see them, you just see their feet.
Yeah.
Just playing with each other. Yeah, it's just really well done.
Then there's another gag in there too, like with Norman Fell as Zeus.
Yep.
Norman Fell was famous.
I don't know who that is.
Famous for his work in a sitcom called Three's Company, which I've not seen.
Oh.
But I looked up the description on Wikipedia.
Sorry, I had a mouthful of Pepsi, basically. Okay.
I looked up the description on Wikipedia, so you can be the judge of whether or not this is an episode to watch. This is word for word.
Oh, Three's Company. Yeah. Okay.
When two single girls need a roommate to share their Santa Monica apartment, they decide to offer a room to the guy they find passed out in the bathtub after the going away party for their last roommate. hijinks ensue.
Yeah, let's watch. Let's review.
That's not a premise for a sitcom.
That's premium podcast worthy, man.
Someone needs a roommate. They find a bum. That's the show. That's it. What happens? I haven't thought that far ahead.
Well, nothing happened in Seinfeld.
Hijinks.
Seinfeld. They get lost in a car park.
And it's hilarious.
The cast catch the subway.
No, nothing happens.
Nothing. It's coming, people. It's coming.
Well, why am I watching it? Because it's on TV.
Yeah. Where are we up to?
It's a small world.
Okay, it's a small world, which is obviously Duff Beer for me.
Yeah.
I think when I was a kid...
that's mind-numbing.
I think when I was a kid, that song made me hate this episode.
It made me hate that segment. Yeah. Not the whole episode.
Although, I remember as a kid, I didn't like this episode. I just thought it was boring.
Fortunately, the most recent episode of The Walking Dead had a very similar thing. Ugh. Did you watch like the whole Guantanamo Bay style?
Oh, no. I haven't watched the second one. I'm not interested. I just wanted to see who died.
Oh, okay. Well, third episode, Daryl's in like... they do a take on Guantanamo Bay. So, Daryl's been taken prisoner.
Well, I will watch it.
And they just blast this really relentless, upbeat pop music at him. And it's similar to the Duff Beer for Me thing. Like, it's so repetitive. I was watching it going, this is going to cost me a good hour of sleep tonight.
I love that scene too where, like, obviously it's in the same scene where Bart is telling her to drink the water. Lisa doesn't want the yelling.
Yep.
Selma has no idea how to handle kids.
Yeah.
Bart, shut up. Lisa, drink the water.
Drink the water.
Lisa's like, well, you're the parent in this situation. I have to do what you tell me. She just becomes absolutely delirious. Really cool animation of Selma here with her shoulder becoming the little creature or whatever.
Yep.
Lisa's just completely lost her mind. Yep. So we cut back to Homer and Marge who are watching the thing that we mentioned before.
Watching... The Erotic Adventures of Hercules. We get the actual line about the Cyclops thing. I just love it. I really love it.
Hercules, the Cyclops tore off my clothes.
How many couples do you think, like, do you reckon more couples now would watch erotic stuff together?
Watch actual porn or just erotic?
Like... Well, you know, either or. Depending on taste.
Nicola and I have never watched porn together.
Yeah, neither have Ash and I. But like... Would more couples, with porn as prevalent as it is now, would more couples sit down and go, let's pop something up on the laptop? Or do you reckon more couples would have watched it back in the 90s when something about the idea of having to go out and get it on tape...
Taboo.
The
effort as well,
The taboo. It's a little bit more titillating because it was it was more effort to actually go to. I reckon more couples would have sat down and watched sex stuff together 20 years ago than would now.
Yeah, because it was sort of like an outing.
Hmm. I'm throwing that out there as a statistic that can't be disproven. Try me.
And there is nothing wrong if you were a parent or you were in a couple in the 90s and you did that.
No.
We're not judging you much at all.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. So,
do it tonight.
Why not? Want to try it? Let's watch porn together.
You and me.
That could be a premium thing for the Patriots. Yeah, but Dano and Mitch, or Mitch and Dando, audio commentary of, what's a porno name? I don't know. Wasn't there one called Pirates once that was like a big budget or something?
Yeah, Pirates was a fairly big budget one. I was trying to think of something. I don't know.
Fox have said no. So, Lisa's very, very erratic. The scene where they threw back to the Cyclops was just to break up the fact that Lisa... and has now gone out doing something else. So she breaks out of the thing. She's like the trilogy of terror, the little doll. She's like that, just crazy language. Bart just runs off and hits the bolt just to be naughty. Someone's just completely lost control of the situation. Lisa walks into the parade. I can see the music. Then Bart starts using the lollipops under his feet to sneak onto the ride.
Yeah.
And comes down. Whoa,
that ain't good.
That was the moment where Bart knew he'd fucked up.
Hang on, did we play the really important audio clip?
The Lizard Queen?
No.
Which one?
Mitch, you're doing a bang-up job.
Oh, let's play that now.
Thank you.
Mitch, you're doing a bang-up job.
There it is. Now, why do we have to play that one?
Well, because I need that clip to be isolated for my new message type. I have a collection of people referring to a Mitch in glowing terms. There's a movie called Real Genius with Val Kilmer. It's like his maybe third movie ever. And there's a character in that named Mitch who is a genius. And I believe the line is, I don't know it word for word. Mitch, what you need to understand is that compared to you, everyone else in this school has an IQ of a carrot.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's one you'd appreciate.
Don't think that I wasn't an arrogant kid as soon as I found that.
A few people have sent us in messages saying, Mitch, you're doing a bang-up job.
Oh, good.
Well, you haven't read them?
But I don't know. I might have.
Mitch, see people, you send in these questions. Mitch pretends to read them.
I read a lot.
12%. No, you read a lot of them. You read all of them. You do a whole mailbag segment.
I read one today. Someone claimed that you were their favourite today.
Yeah.
That wounded me.
I couldn't believe it. It's the first time it's ever happened. It'll be the only time it ever happened. I was gobsmacked. I thought, nah, they've obviously sent this to the wrong person.
Typo.
By the way, I'm going to reference that now because I'm sick of people writing in. I do understand that at the end of the Mr. Plow episode review, I forgot to put in a clip. Mm. It's probably 2:30 in the fucking morning. I had to get up at 6 o'clock. I was half asleep. I apologize. Please stop sending in hate mail. I am very, very sorry.
The trouble is, once we've put it up and like 1,500 people have downloaded it, it's difficult to then remove it and then fix it.
Yeah, because if I replace the audio file with the new one, all the downloads get wiped from the memory of our page, and I just don't want that to happen. So apologies that you don't get to hear Homer saying, "Get it on." What does he say?
Today's forecast calls for flurries of calls for flurries of passion followed by extended periods of getting it on.
There you go, people. There you go. You got the fucking clip of Mr. Plow. Okay, let's continue. So back with Selma's choice. So Bart's been like fucked
flung
over the roller
around
coaster.
The roller coaster, and they end up stopping it at the top of a loop.
Yes,
that's just him hanging.
Arthur as a supervisor. Yeah, you better stop it. They're both just young guys. Selma's there.
Last time I went to a theme park, that happened actually. It was at Movie World, and the Green Lantern roller coaster stopped. No one was upside down, but yeah, they had to get like escorted off. What I thought was really funny is that as they were walking down the steps, everyone was given an umbrella.
Why?
I don't know.
Was it raining?
No. It was like a mild 22-degree Brisbane day. Like, I was wondering if it was to try and hide them from photos. I think that's the only possible reason.
That could have been it, yeah. So, Selma then asks Surly for help. Surly looks out for one person. Surly.
Sorry, Surly. Shut up.
Shut up.
I love that.
Selma and Bart are then waiting in the office, and it's not their fault. I think their father's missing a chromosome. You think she's going to take the blame for it, but she's not. She's blaming Homer. Which is, it's not fair because Homer's been nice with her the whole episode.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so, and it was a good ending as well. But anyway, we'll get that in a moment. Since all this has happened, Hoodlum has made off with 3 bumper cars. Now I thought gangs weren't a problem anymore.
Well, I guess there's a difference between gangs and hoodlums.
That is possible. Yeah, but the exact same people in the ad though.
How many hoodlums constitutes a gang?
Well, it was the same kids in the commercial.
But is 3 a gang? Do you need 4?
Well,
do you need
3,
5?
They had 3 in the gang. They had 3 on the commercial.
I feel like 3 is a very weak gang.
I'm just going by their words, anyway. Mm. So, and the Washington's just completely ruined. That he pantsed.
We found this one swimming naked in the fermentarium.
I am the lizard queen!
Give her this, and this, and then these.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
No, I'm not a doctor.
Homocles walks in, absolutely hilarious. He cares not for beans, and then he picks up Marge, goes to take her off. Kids walk in, love the laser, can't talk, coming down. Marge's just like, I don't know what's happened here, but we're going to sort it out. She walks off.
How do you do it, Homer? Well, you take an ordinary bedsheet and you fold it.
Homer's great here, where Selma is opening up to him and he just takes it by the hand. Like, he's not trying to be smart or anything. He's just...
Yeah.
I feel like they write Selma and Homer to have a better relationship, more closer relationship than Patty. Patty's always just an absolute bitch to everybody. She's not likable at all.
Yeah, Selma has a little bit of a soft underbelly.
So it ends up with Selma just saying, you know, I just wanted someone to hold in my hands, just a child. And then it cuts to Jub Jub, which was funny. It was a good sort of throwback to the opening act.
Yeah.
And she sings, "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman." She just, the love in her eyes, she loves it. And a really good takeoff of the Murphy Brown finale, as I said before. A really, really nice ending to a nice episode. Not a hilarious episode, but it definitely had its moments. The funniest character in the whole episode, I have to say, would be Homer. He was the star of the show. He was the star of the funeral scene. He was the star of the sandwich stuff, being sick. I think this was a very... As much as it's a Selma episode, it's also a Homer episode. But what did you think, Mitch?
Yeah, like, it was a good episode. It was solid, but as you said, it suffers just from being sandwiched in between some absolute greatness.
Yeah.
And it doesn't quite live up to that.
What did we learn, Palmer?
What did you learn from the episode, Mitch?
Sandwiches best kept in the fridge.
Well, mine was, if you find a sandwich behind the radiator, don't continue to eat it.
Yeah. That said, I'd probably give it a go if it still looked all right. Not if it was looking as manky as that one.
Not purple. And when he takes a bite out of it, how dirty is it?
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. Anyway.
I imagine that would have felt like there would have been more moisture in there than it would have. Like, it would have been a slimy sandwich by the end.
Mold juice.
Yeah.
Jamil! Jamil is here!
Ooh!
So it's time for the mailbag now. Mitch, what have we got lined up for this week?
What do we have lined up for this week in the mailbag? All right, we've got a real life Simpsons story coming in from Andrew Johnson. He writes, "Lads, I was on the phone to Telstra and after being transferred to a few different departments, ended up on the phone to a girl from Adelaide, which is a miracle in itself that you found a local call centre operator."
Yeah.
She was sick and said to me, "Sorry, I sound like Danny DeVito," which is, in this day and age, That's a pretty good, like, it's a pretty good bet that that person's going to be good to talk to. If they're referencing Danny DeVito in everyday life,
yep,
then they're going pretty well.
Danny DeVito pre or post Twins?
Well, he said it was on the phone today. Or do you asking if she was narrowing down exactly what point she sounded like him as?
Taxi DeVito?
Well, it doesn't go on to reference it, but I...
It just doesn't matter.
I, you know,
DeVito is just DeVito.
If you could sound like Rainmaker DeVito, then you're probably doing a good job. Yeah. Or Matilda DeVito.
Never really liked him in Matilda.
No, well, he's a prick, but... Yeah. I know, but he's good.
Yeah, he does play the character well.
Anyways, to which I said, oh, wow, I just watched Bradley, Can You Spare Two Dimes? I immediately thought to myself, gee, it would be real awkward if she doesn't get that. But she did. And she told me the story of her working at a vegan food festival and how she tried to get her boss to change the name of their stall to You Do Win Friends With Salad. The long Simpsons conversation made the conversation with Telstra enjoyable, which, as you Aussies can appreciate, is rare. Telstra, for our American listeners, like AT&T, yeah. I suppose.
That'd be the major phone provider.
Yeah. There was another reason I read this email out. Love the show. Finally caught up and anticipating the episode. AJ, go Hawks! Brackets. I'm going to sign off every email to you guys like that.
I don't mind it anymore because they're going to be shit now.
Pardon?
They're going to be shit now, so it doesn't matter. You can like Hawks as much as you want.
Nah,
they're just saying that's a joke.
How dare you?
I know. Hawthorn, Geelong, Sydney, and all those teams will never go out of the top eight much. Anyway,
no, not in a hurry. The question for this week comes in from Gary Gent. Hello, Dando and Mitch. Hope all is well. I have a question for you guys regarding the Simpsons cast. During a recent late night movie session, I came across a little film called Maximum Overdrive.
Yes.
You ever seen this?
I got it after reading this email. I haven't watched it yet, I've got it now, ready to go.
Awful. Like, it's a really, really bad, cheesy action movie. But
is it like Maximum Home Drive? Because it's the episode where Homer becomes a truckie, and it's called Maximum Home Drive. Is it a similar story?
No, not in any way a similar story.
Oh, okay. I thought it might be a similar story. Okay,
just a word pun. Yep. A wordplay.
Yep.
But it's one of those like real bad movies that's really fun to watch because of how bad it is. The basic gist of Maximum Overdrive is that the Earth passes through a Tails comet, and all machines on planet Earth start becoming homicidal and try to kill you, in particular cars and trucks. So our heroes of the movie are kind of holed up at a truck stop, just being sort of like with cars doing loops, basically. And if anyone makes a run, they'll try to mow them down. Famous in my memory for having Stephen King make a cameo at the beginning where he tries to withdraw some money from an ATM, and the ATM just flashes up, "You are an asshole. You are an asshole. You are an asshole." And Stephen King's line, playing this real kind of dweeby white guy, is, "Honey, come over here, sugar buns. This machine just called me an asshole." And then
Stephen King says that.
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah.
Cut to opening credits. Emilio Estevez is in it. The single best line.
Gordon Bombay, please.
The single best line from the entire movie is when Gordon Bombay tells his boss at the diner that he can't do something because, and I quote, "I got eggs on." That's all it needs.
But it's quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth.
Anyway, to the question.
Yes.
During the film, I spotted none other than Yardley Smith running from a murderous 18-wheeler, and it made me think, what is the best cameo from a Simpsons cast member in a film?
I saw Harry Shearer in Ed TV, a movie
is
I watched.
Is he in Ed TV?
Yes.
Right, okay.
He's just
McConaughey
like,
in that?
Yeah, he's Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was sort of it's like the Truman Show, similar thing where the Truman Show was just all about his life, where Ed TV was sort of a... take on the fact that reality TV, what it has become now.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ed TV was more just a guy in life. It's not like they'd built Truman Show.
Alan DeGeneres plays a TV executive who comes up with the idea to follow a guy around 24 hours a day.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I liked it. Really enjoyed it, yeah.
The couple that, we've spoken about...
What about Harry Shearer in Airheads, by the way?
In Airheads, yeah.
Oh, no, Joe Montana.
Joe Montana in Airheads. Yeah, of course, that's what you... Yeah, that was what I was thinking. Nancy Cartwright and Harry Shearer and... Well, Gary has actually left it. Oh, sorry, Hank Azaria in Godzilla, Dan Castellaneta in Super Mario Brothers, a couple others that he points out.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wait, Dan Castellaneta in Space Jam.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Barkley's killing us.
And it's so funny the way he says it. He's killing us.
Yeah. It's like he's in it for 15 seconds, but it's so memorable.
Yeah. And Patricia Heaton plays his partner.
And the other one... Harry Shearer, this is actually less a cameo and more just he was cast in The Right Stuff, which is a movie that is a lot slower by like now, but it's still if you've kind of got an appreciation for, if you go in open-minded and go, okay, it was made in the 70s and it was a slightly different style of filmmaking, still massively stacks up as being a great story of the space program. Harry Shearer plays alongside Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
Kind of comic relief without being like comedy. It's more just their scenes are there to have a little bit of levity.
Am I correct in saying that Jeff was in The Fly?
Jeff Goldblum was in the remake of The Fly, yeah.
I thought he was, yeah. It was in my head. I'm like, is he from The Fly?
Yeah. Woke up recently to find The Fly on at like 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if I spoke about this. It's a great movie, but it's not a way that you want to start the day.
No.
trying to have some bacon and eggs while Brundlefly's nails are falling out and his teeth are coming out of... Anyway, it's messed up.
Continue the mailbag?
That's pretty much it.
Another short and sharp one, since we're pre-recording them, because we're going to run out otherwise.
Yes, pretty much.
So, thanks for listening to our review of Salma's Choice. A fine episode, nothing special, but, you know, he's got a few laughs. Now, Homer with the Sandwich is worth watching just for that, Homer with the Sandwich. And the Erotic Adventures of Hercules is another great moment. So, Mitch, any final words for the listeners before letting them go? Thank them for the Patreon subscribing and the Facebook 100,000 voting in the Trumps and
look,
what do you think I'll be doing right now as people listen to this
while you're over there?
Yeah, so I'll be in America for a week. I'll be in Las Vegas at this point. What am I doing in Las Vegas right now?
Certainly won't be taking anyone's jobs, you filthy immigrant. You'll be in Las Vegas around this point in time.
Yeah,
you'll be wandering around the streets being amazed at how many flyers there are for prostitutes and brothels.
Really?
And strip clubs. Yeah.
Seriously?
There are just flyers of naked women everywhere. They might have like a little thin black...
Is it just not against the law to have nudity in public or whatever?
They might have the nipples covered.
Okay.
Or they might not have.
But it's just sort of saying you will get sex if you come to this place.
It's pretty much like Las Vegas is a town that just puts its balls on the line and says, this is who we are. I fucking dare you to have a problem with it.
I hope I'm having a good time.
Yeah. That should be their state motto.
Thanks for listening, guys. I'll catch you next week.
Shh.